This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. With President Trump's announcement last week, the U.S. is now set to join Nicaragua and Syria as the only nations not party to the Paris Climate Agreement. If you have questions about how serious this is, what it means for global climate and the American economy, we have expert answers. Also, a fact check of the speech itself and a breakdown of where our global climate stands and where it's headed. Also, are you living in an information bubble? Chances are the answer is yes, and the internet is likely making it worse. But internet giants like Google and Facebook are trying to fix that. We'll hear about that later this hour. First, though, it's time for our monthly check-in with our friends at Nature News. Joining me this week is reporter Heidi Ledford. Heidi, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us. A couple weeks ago, we heard about advances in Ebola research as the outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo was just getting started. And at that point, researchers were contemplating putting one of the experimental vaccines into the field. There have been some developments since then. So what's the status of using the vaccine in the Congo?
Yeah. So on the 29th of May, the authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo did approve the use of the vaccine, but they haven't decided yet if now is the right time to use it. So they're starting to prepare, but they haven't decided yet that they're actually going to deploy it.
So it's a possibility if they need it.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, there is this outbreak that's ongoing. They've got about 17 suspected cases, two of which have been confirmed. But there are several computer predictions that are predicting that there won't be further cases, you know, within the next month. And I think they're sort of waiting to see whether it's going to be worth the massive undertaking it would take to deploy that vaccine.
We'll keep our fingers crossed that it's not necessary and that those computer models are correct. NASA's Juno mission, this mission to Jupiter has really completely altered our understanding of that planet right down to its core, literally. Can you give us some of the highlights?
Yeah. So the Juno mission, you know, was launched in 2011 and reached Jupiter a little under a year ago. And it's been gathering data ever since. So it's been peeking through the clouds and all those storms that we always hear about on Jupiter. It's using a microwave emitting instrument that can see really into the heart of the planet. And it's finding, you know, I would say in general, it's finding that things are a bit more variable there than had been predicted before. There are patches of certain gases. There's an ammonia-rich plume, for example, that's rising up from around Jupiter's equator. The magnetic field as well, it's stronger and also more variable than models had predicted. That, again, is especially variable near the equator. That may be because the material inside the planet kind of churns and distorts the magnetic field, kind of like the way sunspots are created. They've also found that Jupiter has a surprisingly large core. It's made of heavy elements that could be about anywhere from 7 to 25 times the mass of the Earth.
So this is a pretty fundamental change in our understanding of this planet based on this one satellite that's up there. I mean, was this expected at all?
You know, it was the first spacecraft to visit Jupiter, and I think when it reached there, it was the first one to get there in 21 years. So, it's gathering a lot of new data for us. I think the thing I'm kind of looking forward to now is 11th of July, it's going to fly over the Great Red Spot. So I'm kind of looking forward to see what they find there.
All right, back on Earth. Canadian researchers are proposing to dump tons of iron into the ocean off of Chile. There's a nonprofit research group and also a for-profit company involved in this. What is the goal of dumping all of this iron into the ocean?
Yeah, the idea is that iron can be limiting in the ocean for phytoplankton, for the algae and such that grow there. If you dump a lot of iron in, you could stimulate a lot of phytoplankton growth. If you stimulate a lot of phytoplankton growth, you give the fish lots of food to eat. You may end up with more fish, and the fisheries. And this proposed plan is asking to happen off the coast of Chile. So the hope is that the fisheries in Chile would benefit then from all the fish.
Ocean fertilization experiments like this have been going on since 1990 or so. There have been more than a dozen of them. And they've always been somewhat controversial. This one seems to be especially controversial. What's at issue?
Oh, you know, more algae is not always a good thing, right? I think a lot of people are worried that you start dumping, I mean, it's really hundreds of tons of iron into the ocean, that you could end up with other ecological effects that you don't want. You know, some algae, for example, produce neurotoxins. It could distort the ecosystem and so forth. You know, the other thing, too, is that there really isn't any strong evidence that dumping this iron into the ocean like this is going to benefit the fisheries at all. There's it's just the evidence just isn't there. And scientists are saying, you know, this particular experiment isn't necessarily going to clear that up. The region that they're proposing to work with already has areas of low and high iron. The fish are already swimming, you know, back and forth between those areas just fine. It would be pretty hard to interpret the data that they get from this if it were to go forward.
And in addition to that, in 2012, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity actually put into place a moratorium on commercial fertilization. As I mentioned, there's a nonprofit research group proposing this, but they're associated with a for-profit venture. And the idea here being to boost fisheries sounds like maybe this is commercial more than research.
That has a lot of people very worried, that exact connection as well. That's right.
All right. Speaking of biological diversity, scientists have typically defined this term biodiversity as being the number of species in some system. We know that biodiversity is very important for the function of ecosystems, for the health of ecosystems. But scientists seem to be kind of redefining what biodiversity means, taking it to different levels. So what's the story there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting trend. It's kind of emerging now in ecology that they're looking more and more not just at the numbers of species there, but at what those species are doing, what traits they have, what functions they can carry out, to see if, you know, that may be a better indicator of how stable or resilient to change an ecosystem might be.
So maybe not just the total number of species, but if you have a species that does a whole lot of different things, it should kind of count as more species in your total tally of biodiversity?
It could, yeah. It's a more, I think, comprehensive image of what's really going on in a particular ecosystem. There was one researcher compared it to, you know, he said that looking at species numbers alone is kind of like listing the parts of a car without saying what they do. And then when the car breaks down, you don't have any guidance for you know, what's going to happen then or what should be changed. So it's a bit akin to that.
And what's the benefit of redefining biodiversity or looking at biodiversity through this lens? Is there a practical application?
Yeah, I think, you know, it changes your perception of what areas are most important for conservation, for example. So we've tended, I think, in the past to really target areas that are species rich, you know, places like the Amazon rainforest, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. And those are certainly, you know, wonderful, unique places. But I think this image of you know, looking also at the function and the traits that are contained in an area could open up the possibility that there are other areas that we hadn't really been focusing on in the past that deserve more attention and more perhaps of our conservation efforts.
Heidi Ledford is a reporter for Nature News. We talk with her and her colleagues once each month to stay up to date on some of the top stories in science. Heidi, thanks for keeping us up to date.
Thanks so much.